Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
it's you living.
We all under attack,
it's you different.
I know niggas existing in two prisons, filling they throat, living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took parole. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on interstates for visiting. Remember Tony got stabbed,
may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go a 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature
of the crime.
I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take it back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take it back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
AB, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Malai, are you on?
Hi, we're here.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to get Malai on. One second.
Oh, sorry. This is Karen and KB.
Malai, are you on? Crystal.
Yes, I'm here. Good evening. How are y'all doing?
We something going on. How you doing? We having a some kind of problem. You can start if you want to. I'm trying to see what's going on with Malai's on phone. He said he could hear me, but I can't hear him. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, always we have technical difficulties from time to time, but the show must go on. So good evening to everyone who was able to join us tonight. Tonight we're going to have a show just talking about the reason for change and the reason for reform that is needed in our communities. We have one of my special guests, one of the founders of my organization, Freedom Over Everything. I am executive director for, and I have the pleasure of having Mr. Kevin Dickerson on the show tonight. And we're going to have him introduce himself and just let him know his position and what he does and what we're working on thus far, you know, and what our focus is for Freedom Over Everything in the upcoming months. Kevin, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for that warm introduction. And for everybody that do know me, they know me by KD, not by Kevin, because, you know, mostly that's government name. But anyway, I am one of the founders of Freedom Over Everything, FOE, along with my partners, Nadia, Salam, and OJ, Oliver Adams. I am the vice president, and mostly what I do is create programs and implement the programs and get them started and put all the pieces together that's going to be needed for those programs, working alongside of Chris Ellison. That's what mainly I do, and right now, We're focusing on a program that I created called Making Families Whole Again. And with that program, it's just that, you know, I seen a need, a lot of things that was missing that was going on in the black families today as well as in the communities. And most of that is basically because we put things in the wrong order of things. I grew up in a family or a household where God was taken first. You know, whether I liked it or not, we was in church every Sunday. Sunday school, and if it was a service after that, we'll be there also. So the fact that, you know, a lot of black families has swayed away from that and we put a lot of other things before God, that's why a lot of the problems that we're having today, that we face today, exist. Because we no longer look to God. We look to our jobs first. We look to, you know, all the different problems that we may have, maybe having going on with financially and things like that. So this program will actually align things where the family will have a better opportunity to succeed. And the way I look at it is God should be first, then family, community, and then your job. But when you don't focus on your community and then you leave them out, you don't want to deal with your neighbor, your child is running amok, you know, who else left there to discipline them when you may be at work or whatever. So when you align all those things together, you know, and put them in a natural order that they're supposed to be in, I feel that you have a better chance to succeed. The program actually will educate the family and bring back, you know, bring them back to those old traditions that we once had growing up where, you know, you may eat at the dinner table together, spending more time with your kids, focusing on the activities that they're doing. Today, the child is being raised by a phone. So, you know, we have to get away from those type of things, man, and focus more on the family and what's needed in the family to be able to hear from a lot of the trauma that's been impacting us. Yeah.
Yes.
You there,
most
Chris?
And not only that, I just feel like a lot of times when we as family, what we're used to and the pattern that our family are. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, the family, our family dynamic, we got away from a lot of that growing up.
Hello?
So to be able to revisit those things, you know, it's a blessing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pardon. Hello. Hello. Is everyone there?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Okay, good, good. Okay, I apologize for the technical difficulties, Sister Karen and KD, man. I apologize. But continue on with the show, okay? And I'll come in and ask questions. Thank you.
No, we were just talking about how making family whole again. The program was, you know, created by Kevin Dickerson, and you know, inside, you know, the walls, and then me as executive director, how I, you know, push whatever programs that's created in prison, I push it on the outside, and I make sure that we're on the same accord. So when the guys are coming home, they're still, you know, moving in the same vein. And we were just talking to the aspect that, you know, growing up, how our family dynamic and the things that we've gotten away from, you know, doing like eating at the table together and doing things as a family, we don't do anymore, and how, you know, society has just warped us into, you know, dispersing and being
right,
more
right.
And moving in as a tribe.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, I was just to add on to that, Kev, I was mentioning to because a lot of organizations out here, like Tomorrow's Change, my sister's organization, also Community United Focus, we all strive. That's one of our you know, principles, is making the family whole again. And a lot of organizations use that phrase. You know, how do you see making the family whole again is something that the brothers and sisters behind the Barbed Wire City, how can they apply that application to themselves when yet they're incarcerated? What tools do you think they can bring to the table or use to make their family whole while they're incarcerated?
Well, there are a lot of fathers that are behind bars, a lot of mothers that's behind bars. And one of the things that we're used to be able to stay relevant and be a part of our family is the phone and, you know, and visitations and things like that. But after talking to a lot of these young fathers in here, one of the things I realize is they try to be more of a friend to their child than a parent, because they feel as though that child is not going to listen to them because they're not present, you know. And then you have fathers that also try to use fear to be able to control their child, because they feel as though that's what's needed so they can be able to be a parent on the outside. And one of the things that that we have that we should be using is that communication, but it shouldn't be used in those type of ways, whereas you want to place fear in that child. You know, you can use your own experiences that you have went through as a child or even as an adult to be able to guide your child, you know, and because you are the parent, you know, you are the parent, so your experiences alone should be able to help guide that child. But one of the things that we have to our disadvantages is the fact that, you know, a lot of the guys that's in here, they are not with the child's mother anymore, or the child's mother may have, you know, some type of ill feelings towards them and everything. But that has to be made known and very clear that what's important is that child. You know, so whatever riff or whatever you may have with the mother needs to be put aside, because that child is the most important thing. You don't want to lose that child to the system or to the streets, you know, to gun violence and things like that. So when dealing with a program such as Making Families Whole Again, the father that's in prison or the mother that's in prison, they are needed. They are needed to be a part of that, because they will be out there one day soon. So we want them to be a part of this program also, so they can step back into that role of being, you know, step back in that role physically of being that parent to that child, because it's very needed. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to find ways now to have them also play a major role into this program while being incarcerated, which is not easy, but we're going to make it happen, though. You know, it's not something that's unreal, you know, that's not realistic. So I believe it can happen. But one thing I want to speak on is the fact that our executive director and the founders of Freedom Over Everything, we share a shared vision. You know, even though I may come up with a program, but all four of us are locked in. We're locked in and understand that, okay, then this is the agenda, this is the objective of what we're trying to accomplish. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, I'm gonna shoot for the moon. You know, I want us to win, not just the organization, but the people that we're trying to help as well. So you know, we have mm-hmm. to work. We work together very well, and a lot of times, you know, we put a lot of great pressure on Chrissy, but she always come through. So you know, I just wanted to let that be known that it's not easy all the time, but it works though.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. But we also have another guest joining us, Karen Morrison. Karen, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having
me. Okay. Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, I really want you to meet this wonderful person who I met years and years ago, back in, I want to say like 93, maybe. And I know Karen and her husband, and they're very, very upright people in the community. She's always been an advocate in the community. When I first met her, she was a teacher in Norfolk elementary schools, and she was advocating against the segregation of busing they were striving to establish in the classroom. This young lady is outstanding, and the work she's doing right now, I think, you know, is really relevant to everybody paying attention. You want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself and why you're here tonight, Karen?
Well, yes, I'm here tonight because I'm so happy that Kevin brought me on KB, because actually what I'm trying to do with KB is, because he's so brilliant in his organization, they have a plan. But in order for KB to be really able to really get into what he wants to do, he has to get out of prison. So my organization is called Fighting for Freedom. And what we do is we represent people like KB who's been in prison for a very long time and is now eligible for parole. So we help him to navigate the parole process, we kind of guide him on how to interview, how to bring his family together to meet with the parole board member, so that in the long run that KB will have a better opportunity and a better chance to come back into society so that he can do what his organization is designed to do. And so we've been now doing it for 2 years. Not only are we doing parole, but we're also doing pardons. And we just believe that because the system has closed so many young men off, like KB, who has great potential, we want to be able to humanize them and tell their stories and to tell, like KB said, mitigating factors of youth that might have landed him in prison, but look at what he's doing now. So we focus on not the person who entered prison, but the person that's been rehabilitated, that is now no longer thinking about themselves, but thinking about the community
Absolutely.
That they caused detriment to. So it's my pleasure again to be here.
Absolutely, and it's an honor to have you here. Representing KD, and you know, of course, you know, KD is a wonderful guy that I've met, and I'm so proud of him as a founder, and you know, Nadir and OJ and the work they're doing, and of course my mother queen, my sister Krista, who's out here, and you know, just know and understand that, you know, we are the soldiers out here putting and grinding to make Freedom Over Everything relevant out here in these streets. And, you know, our hats off and salute to Chris. Is Hassan here with us yet? Hassan, have you joined us yet,
I made it on. So
okay.
peace and blessings to everybody here tonight. First and foremost, you know, I just want to thank our guests for being on tonight. KD, we've had an opportunity to speak multiple times.
One minute remaining.
Collaborate, and see, that's something that we always have to deal with as long as the brother's still in there. So the ultimate goal is to get these brothers out, right? The ultimate goal is to get these brothers out, these brothers and these sisters out, man, because the value of those who are behind the walls and what they have to offer is greatly underestimated.
Right.
And really not paid attention to, that this is a viable, untapped resource that we have inside of prisons. And we need these brothers and sisters home so we can come out and really make the great strides that we can if we unified in our efforts to do so. So I want to thank KD and most definitely.
I'll be back with y'all in 1 second.
Just join us in one, and we'll get you back on here and let you continue to advocate your message and reach the people. Okay, so come on and call us right back, brother. Okay.
All right.
And until then, we'll
thank
wait for him to call
ETL.
On in. We'll wait for him to call in. I want to apologize to all our listeners for the technical difficulty we have. Sometimes we run into that. Our producer works hard to try to, evade these things. But, these are the type of errors and things that take place. It happens not only to us, but it happens to all podcasts, radio broadcasts. These things go wrong. So, but thank you, for a wonderful staff, my staff, my host, Krista Ellison. We all, Hassan, we all know how to step up and keep the show moving as best we can to, keep you all abreast and keep you engaged. Today is a very, very important show, and I really advise the listeners to take in what is being spoken here today. We're not going to take a lot of calls in today, but we will try to take one or two or three because we really want to give Katie an opportunity to really engage us and speak to us of what it is that, he's moving towards and he's striving to engage, and also Ms. Karen, to the work that they're doing, because we really need you all to understand how vital it is that we get out and support these brothers and sisters who are really, we too, me and Hassan, we come from that pedigree, that cloth, because we were there. And, a lot of our brothers and sisters, who are in there still fighting the fight, we have to realize that there are a lot of people who are behind them, barbed wire cities, doing a lot of really, really great and hard work. And there's a lot of obstacles that lie in the way because we don't have control of our program to the capacity that we can just dictate how the program is run, when it is run. You know what I'm saying? The time that we have available and things of that nature. You want to speak more to that, Hassan?
I would most definitely like to speak to that, man, because, I am constantly connected with many brothers and sisters behind the wall through the Virginia Prison Justice Network and the Prisoners' Rights Clinic and the multitude of men and women behind the walls that have been there for extremely long periods of time, unjust periods of time, over-sentenced for many of their crimes. Now we're finding out that the over-sentencing aspect of it has had a very drastic effect upon our communities out in society, where many mothers and fathers have been disassociated from their families. And we was talking about Family Day, right, at last week, and we said that we really wanted to expound on that a little bit more. Because that is something that's missing, that was once a part of the Department of Corrections, that was taken out of the Department of Corrections, and systemically that has had a very, very bad effect upon our communities. And
do you know why they took it out, Brother Hassan?
Come on with it.
They use the excuse that guys use Family Day to bring in contraband into the institution. They had always wanted to get rid of Family Day. So they used a security reason to be able to eliminate it.
That's
Family
right.
Day was just that. It was a Family Day. Your family was able to come in with food that they have cooked for their, cooked their own self and feed their loved one that's behind bars. They'll bring in, the mother will be there, the father will be there, the inmates' children will be there, whoever they wanted to bring in. They would sit at a picnic table outside, enjoy music, eat food, play games. The kids play games. They even had dunk machines where the water dunk machines, all types of stuff for the kids to play, So those activities, those type of things like that, They looked at the inmate and they seen him as being a human. They looked at him and saying, okay, then he has a family. He has somebody that loves him, that supports him.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like that. So they used a security reason to be able to eliminate that. And when they did that, they said, okay, then once again, we're able to divide and conquer.
Right.
And that's, but you know, I want to speak to, I don't want to really try to jump topics, but I want to speak a little bit towards why, you know, one of the things that we do with FOE, you know, we put it in the guy's mind, you know, in the guy's mind that they can do anything that they want to do. They don't have to be no wannabe, well, I want to do this, well, I want to do that. We have guys in here now creating their own nonprofits, their own businesses. You know, they come to us, man, look, you got any information on this? We got books on everything, on how to do everything. You know, so, and we aid and assist guys with that. And one of the things that I realized very early on was that I had to take responsibility for my own rehabilitation. I couldn't go to the administration to do that for me. That was a choice I had to do myself. But first I had to come to grips of the effects of my crime and what I caused, you know.
Right.
You know, I caused a lot of great pain for, you know, for my victims, you know. They was in the comfort and the privacy and the security of their own home, and I violated that, you know. So I first had to come to grips with that, you know, and what I did and what I caused to be able to deal with myself first, to be able to deal with myself, you know, after that. So by doing that, you know, that shined a light on me and saying, okay, then this guy here, he onto something. And for you know it, I'm on now. I'm the guy that they come to for advice and counseling. I didn't ask for that, but it's a responsibility that comes with being in the position that you're in. You know, so I can't claim to be okay then this guy that's fighting for parole and this guy that's, you know, trying to change things for our communities and not want to, you know, open my mouth and help people, you know, leave my door open to help people, you know, so. You know, so much that we do in here, man, that the public don't even know nothing about. Just yesterday we had a leadership summit with all the different heads of organizations, you know, to talk about the different things that's going on in the institution and how can we combat some of the problems that's, you know, that stems from different issues, whether it's, you know, drugs or so forth, you know. So, you know, these are the type of things that we do. We do this on our own without the administration, you know. So, you know, the public, you know, their perception of us is, okay, then they committed a crime, and that's who they are. They are that crime. They are no one else, you know. You have guys in here, man, that go to college, that's getting a master degree, they're getting journalism degrees, all these different types of degrees, you know. Like I said, creating their own nonprofits and things like that. They're not doing that to try to look good for parole board. These guys here don't even have parole. They doing it because that's what change is. They took responsibility for their own rehabilitation. They didn't like the person that they came in as, so they doing what they passionate about. You know, you have to get involved with something that you're willing to wake up every day without a struggle to go do.
That's right.
I tell them to do it. If it's something that you're passionate about, make sure that you're willing to get up every day and go do it.
Let me add Mother Queen. To add on to, because Mother, you know, Krista has been out here and she's watched, and what you're speaking on is brothers changing the narrative of where they, you know, once were to where they're now going. And Krista, as you've witnessed, you know, a lot of this change, can you add on more to, you know, can you add on?
Most definitely. I've known Kevin since ninth grade, but he did not know me. I would watch him from afar. And then that's a backstory. But I've known him since the ninth grade. And then when my brother got incarcerated in 2001, I hadn't seen him in school. You know, I knew him from school days, and then I didn't see him anymore. And then my brother got incarcerated. And when my brother got incarcerated, I saw Kevin in the visiting room. And I think we were pen pals for a while. And then we lost contact, knew each other for over, 16 years?
Right.
And then
2006.
Yep. And then he called me and say, I need your help. I need you to help me with the rally. And I was like, I'm not doing no rallies. Like, I'm not trying to get Billy Club or Mace. And then he said, well, you can run it however you want to run it, and we're going to tell you what it's all about and what we do. And when I heard the story of what he did, I'm like, from the knucklehead that I knew in ninth grade and the man that I see today, like, it's two totally different people. I have watched him from afar just grow into some to you know, when they say I was a boy, I thought as a boy, and I did childish things, and when I became a man, I put away my childish things. That is he is a prime example of growth. You know, jails now are over sentencing and the conditions are inhumane, and I watched him struggle through all of that and still maintain a sense of a healthy mind, a healthy attitude towards life. Everybody have their ups and downs, but I see and I watch these men struggle through the pandemic. I see them struggle through family situations. I see them grow through family situations. I see them surpass people who have been out in the streets the whole time and never been locked up. You know, and like you say, reversing the curse is pretty much the main goal of freedom over everything. Just whatever society and the system has built to destroy us as a people, we have been knocking down those barriers and overcoming those obstacles, and have a sense of worthiness. Because when you're locked up and thrown away and you're secluded from family and friends and just the ability to do free will activities, there's a sense of self-worth. You know, you don't feel worthy sometimes. And then the guilt of the nature of your crime, you know, weighs on you, and you think that whatever is given to you or dealt to you is what's supposed to be. But the fact that these men have opened up their minds and hearts to really overcome those obstacles and change their ways and strive to do what's right and then help other people see their wrong and right their wrongs. It's an amazing journey, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it. I'm so proud of them. I cannot, you know, stress that enough. I didn't think that this was something that I would ever be doing, but this is the journey, you know, for me too. This has been an eye-opener for those who say they deserve what they get, or lock them up, throw away the keys. Like, when one of us is fallen, we all have fallen. And for one of us to stand, we can help the next person up. So I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful. You don't even know.
Before you speak, I just wanted, if your wife called, I'm hoping that she's calling in, and if she's hearing me, just press 1, sister, if you would like to speak and come in. I got my producer waiting on you at 3897. Jay Sean, if you get 3897, please allow him to come in. That's Katie's wife. She called and would like to be a part of the show. So let's let her in there. But I'm sorry, Katie. Go right ahead, brother.
No, I was just about to say it's amazing how everything comes in full circle. You know, that first rally she spoke about, that was a hashtag parole in VA now, which ended up turning into a whole tour of Virginia. And that first rally, Karen was present at that first rally, braving the heat like a soldier, you know. You know,
yeah.
She I believe she spoke at that rally, right?
That was the first time that I actually, you know, I'm a little shy when it comes to speaking out in public, and I had the pleasure of going on stage and just, you know, like, I always believe the spirit just took over so that we could tell people, like, don't give up, because it was a really difficult time. People were still trying to figure out whether they're going to get paroled or not, and also pardons. But thankfully that by the time Governor Northam finished, he granted about 1,200 pardons. And so what we're doing now is we're still rallying the troops, and we're still telling people to hang in there, because even though Governor Youngkin is a Republican, he's put the message out that he believes in second chances, and we're hoping that he's just going to do the same thing and grant not only pardons but also parole. These men need to come out of prison. They've been incarcerated since some of them the age 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and they've done 20 years, 30 years, and 35 years. But, Malai, I want KD to go ahead and finish his thought, and then I'll circle back because his time is going to run out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
that's what I want everybody. Like, let's try to give the brother an opportunity to take advantage of this time that he has. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, well, I'll be going up for parole again in September, and you know, though I am, you know, optimistic about it and everything, I put a lot of, you know, passion into it, you know, when I go into the interview, mm-hmm. you know, being straightforward mm-hmm. and honest and open about, you know, everything. I just would like, you know, people to know that this is who I am, you know, this is no front. I didn't start doing this when Fishback was passed and I was made eligible for parole. I was doing this before they even thought about even bringing a bill up for Fishback. So this is, you know, this is no front or anything like that. This is not like, okay, then once he's given parole, you'll no longer hear from him or anything like that. My foundation to continue to do this has already been laid, you know. So this is who I am now, you know. I'm this guy that you hear speaking right now, so that's speaking passionate about working in the community, changing things, bettering the family, helping prisoners as well. You know, reentry doesn't start when you are 6 months out, you know, 6 months ready to go home. Reentry started the moment that they say that, okay, then you're guilty and this is your sentence. You know, that's when reentry started for me, and that's what reentry started for a lot of guys that's serious about staying out there in society. So that's who I am. So, I'm asking right now that people that's listening support my parole by writing in or emailing the parole board, you know, asking for my release. This is who I am. This is who you're going to get. This is the guy that you're going to have in your community mentoring your child, trying to keep your child from going to prison or to an early grade.
That's
wow,
what
this is. Kevin
Dickerson,
right here.
Thank you, brother. And, yeah. Man, again, brother, you know, I love you. And a lot of people,
I'm so
grateful that you're getting the opportunity to hear from one of the founders of Freedom Over Everything. And, again, salute to OJ and Nadir reached out to me today, Scanner, my brother. And, you know, I love him dearly. These brothers are epitome of men just really reforming themselves and pushing forward. Katie, can you just share with everybody, like, most importantly, why is it so important for you to, I see you're emphasizing that, you know, you're letting people know that you're not doing, you know, you didn't just start doing it. Because, you know, when you come home, regardless of what you're saying, people are still going to hold you, you know, to that fire. You know what I'm saying? Why do you feel it's so important for you to continue to exemplify this vision? Because a lot of people will be in question. So what things are you utilizing to get past that? Because there will come those days where people will still have doubt.
Say that one more time again. I didn't hear
okay.
The question all the way. It got loud in.
What the question was, what way are you preparing yourself for those days when people do have doubt? What ways are you preparing yourself to those who will be in question of your motives and things of that nature?
Well, I do believe it's going to always be doubts, you know, but this is not a face that I put on in the daytime and take off at night. This is who I am. So those doubts, they're going to exist. But I'm not going to allow those doubts to, you know, bother me. You know, I'm going to continue to stay steadfast on the path that I feel like I've been placed on by God. You know, I know it's going to be tough times. You know, it's going to be rocky times. I have those in here. But I have to stay the course because this is the course that I chose, you know. I can choose to go be a truck driver, but that's not who I am. You know, I get inspired by when I'm able to help someone else. That inspires me. That drives me. You know, helping others drives me. So that's why I say you have to do what you're passionate about doing, and this is what I'm passionate about doing. So it becomes easy for me getting up every day, walking the boulevard, talking to guys, letting guys know what's going on in the General Assembly, or helping guys, you know, with the path that they choose, they feel like they want to be on in life when they want to stay hit the street. So this is who I am, you know. I don't have no other way to explain that, you know. Just like a guy that's passionate about driving a truck, that's what he loves to do. This is what I love to do. And for me to do anything contrary to that, then I'd be setting myself up for failure.
And let me just say this. One thing about freedom over everything, you have to qualify yourself for parole. So those who are not walking in the vein of wanting to do walk the right path or do the right thing, they are not interested in what we are doing. They're doing exactly what they want to do. They still want to be riffraff and, you know, part of the problem. But we are part of the solution. And the guys who are part of the organization have changed their way of thinking. And we're not pulling nobody's leg, and we're not convincing nobody of any of these things. This is what they want to do. These guys who have changed want to change.
Freedom over everything going to exist with or without them, you know. It's a choice. It's a choice.
Well, I'm grateful.
When I call, I'm going to call back through my wife's number. I'm going to allow Karen to speak as well. But I just want to thank y'all, man, for allowing me on here and be able to tell my story.
That's wonderful, brother. I'm always going to be out here representing freedom over everything and a lot of people, you know. I know you see when Community United Focus posts, we always post freedom over everything, FO, because
that's
who we represent.
Thank you for using
PPL. And this is a true fight that, you know, I'm in, you know, to the day I'm in the grave. Inshallah, Allah continue to give me the abilities and faculties to lead on as my co-host. And I continue to partner. Sister Karen, so what's the work? What are we doing?
Oh, man, we just, like, gearing up for the fight. I have a really big case right now that I really want to get the word out. So there's a gentleman by the name of Tony Edward Lewis. He's been incarcerated since the age of 16. At the age of 18, let me go back. The age of 16, he had a sexual assault case that, you know, we're still not convinced that he participated in that, but we can't really touch that one. But at the age of 18, he was in Southampton County. Now, mind you, this is 1975, and there was an attempted escape, and the prison guard was killed. Of course, we don't condone the action because anytime there's a victim and someone loses their life, you know, we're very sympathetic to the case. The reason why we've taken this on is because Tony Lewis and two other men were sentenced. One of the co-defendants, who was age 17, was sentenced to death. Tony Lewis was also sentenced to death. And the person who jumped on the guard that caused the injury, his attorney, William P. Robinson, right out of there from Norfolk, the late, great William P. Robinson, was smart enough to know to delay the case of Michael Cross. But what he didn't realize was the other two men were sentenced to death. So long story short, there was a lot of debate about the Supreme Court saying that the statute was unconstitutional. Now, Governor Godwin decided that before the ruling came down, he was going to commute the sentence of Tony Lewis, and he did that intentionally because he knew that if he commuted the sentence, that Tony Lewis would be able to go back and get a retrial. If he commuted the sentence, you know, a commutation is like a presidential commutation that is higher than the courts. And so it's tied him in prison for 50 years. And recently with Governor McCullough, he granted geriatric parole automatically. So Tony Lewis started to go up for parole eligibility at the age of 60. So he's been going up for about 6 years. We were preparing to go in front of the chair of the parole board. And all of a sudden, they decided, the Virginia Parole Board says, oh, it was a computer glitch. You're no longer qualified for parole eligibility. And we're like, why? First of all, the sentence was unconstitutional, and you already know the rest. And he does have parole eligibility because regardless of what you feel, your own rules and your own policy says that if a person starts to go up for parole eligibility and was going up for 6 years, it supersedes anything that's coming from the Department of Corrections. And so what we've been doing is going back and forth with the Department of Corrections. They're not budging. And so we are literally fundraising now so that we can go ahead and hire an attorney. And not only do we want to get parole eligibility back, we're not even fighting for that anymore. We're fighting for wrongful conviction, overly sentenced incarceration of a gentleman that should have never been on death row, and the fact that the governor commuted his sentence intentionally to cause him to be in prison this long. So that's the fight that we're gearing up. Plus, you know, we have other people that we're working on to try to get through the parole system and also the party. And we're just hoping that this governor, who says he's a Christian and he's about second chances, will be about his word and let people out.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, but Northup was also the governor that gave me the pardon. And as you speak about William P. Robinson, William P. Robinson was my attorney. He was my attorney actually all the way up until his passing. And he, too, he was the very important role and vital in getting me back for resentencing twice, which both Judge Leafy and Judge Poston both denied me any relief from. But these, you know, there are people in the legal arena that are fighting for truth. So all attorneys and all governors are not people just out to, you know, banish black people and keep people under. There's really people out there on all levels fighting this fight for criminal justice reform, and it's very important. Hassan, you want to add in and say anything real quick, brother?
Well, indeed so, because ultimately when we're talking about the legal system, we're talking about something that many of our people really don't have a base knowledge of or have no knowledge at all. And so when we have organizations that are mobilizing to do this work, which not only affects one or two people, but it really will affect the multitude, we need the support of the public. We need the support of our people out there to step up to the plate and come out. Sometimes you may not necessarily know a whole lot about the issues, but if you come out, there are people who are very well educated on those issues that can enlighten you as to what it is that you can do and how you can be a part of this struggle, because ultimately it is a struggle that affects us all, whether we know it or not, and it's something that we have to fight for as it pertains to our liberation, the liberation of our minds and our bodies. And so I implore everyone to do a little bit more research on the organizations that are working and fighting, such as Community United Focus and Freedom Over Everything, the Virginia Prison Justice Network, Prisoners' Rights Clinic. There are many other organizations, Coalition for Justice, that are out there doing this work. And we want to extend our hand to Karen to really do what we can to support in her efforts to liberate these men. So, you know, well, we will contact and we'll be doing that work together, hopefully, in the future.
Well, yeah, well, me and Karen, I'm going to just tell you guys, Karen is family to me, literally. As I said, I met Karen, and she's an outstanding person, just human being all around the board. And we will be, by the grace of Allah, be it the Masiya of Allah, his desire, we will definitely be working with her hand in hand and assisting her in her movement of retaining and getting more brothers and sisters out of these situations. And mind you, we're not dismissing some of the crimes that may have been committed, but we're talking about people, listen, who are unjustly continually being incarcerated. And I keep one of the things I keep trying to speak to, and I really wish people would really look more into this, the debt peonage methodology that is being applied. Please learn the meaning of this language of debt peonage, and then you will truly get a greater understanding of what this whole process of parole rejections and turn downs and people coming out, being placed on parole and probation and then being inserted back into the prison system for technical violations and all kinds of foolishness that really just, you know, is absurd to people being incarcerated. So I implore you to please learn the language and meaning of debt peonage so that we can all be on one page and understanding the methodology of system of slavery that they're imposing upon us today. So this is very imperative, and I'm going to tell you what it is again. It's called debt peonage. Please research it. Learn all you can about it and its application today in our system. Okay. Sister Karen, is there anything that you can speak to that you would like the people to maybe assist you with and how they can assist you with? Or is there any way that they can contact you to assist you in any way?
Yes. Well, first of all, again, I just want to thank you for having me on your show. And then to Hassan and to Christy, I just appreciate the fact that you're extending your arms. Christy, you've always been that. But now, Hassan, it's my pleasure to reach out to you when I get back because, again, you know, like I feel like when we can couple with other organizations that have been on the ground that really know how to move, I believe that we can do so much better. And thank you, Malai, for saying that. I'm on Instagram as fighting_4_freedom, and I think there's another dash under it. And then we also have our website, www.fightingforfreedom.info. Again, right now we're concentrating on just really trying to raise funds because not only is it going to benefit Tony Lewis, but it's also going to benefit people that have been incarcerated for a long time. We've been raising funds and we've been doing really well in helping some of those guys that have been in prison for 35 years, 40 years that just cannot donate to our organization. So we do take pro bono cases. We're actually at a max right now. And not only do we do pro bono in parole, but we also do pro bono cases in pardons. And so what I'm trying to do is to get out there, the word out there, so that we can get more funders to donate to the organization because, like, right now I'm the sole writer. I do the majority of the parole hearings, and there's days that I'm on parole hearings, like, 3 to 4 times a day. And like Christy said, we do screen our candidates. They have to really be rehabilitating it, and not necessarily the true word of rehabilitation through the DOC, because like Katie says, you can start your own nonprofit from behind the walls, or you can, like I tell people that's been in prison 30 years, 45 years, when you raise your children and they become doctors and lawyers or even managers of businesses, why are we not shouting that out, right? Because it's so difficult to continue those type of relationships, foster those relationships. So we're really working hard to humanize a person so that the parole board, when we bring them up for parole or for pardon, they have a hard time saying no. And we have quite a bit of cases that we've been waiting from November now to get an answer, and we're just waiting patiently. So any support that you have for Fighting for Freedom, whether it's, I tell people it doesn't even have to be a monetary donation. If you want to volunteer, help me to send emails to people, to help me vet stories, to make sure that we humanize them by putting them on social media, help me with my website. We take all kinds of volunteers. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, inshallah, once again, I would like for you to just text me your logo, your flyer, and also text me that information, the email information. And what I will do is post it on the Facebook page and also pass it on to Hassan and Mother Queen Krista so that we can also post it on Instagram and things of this nature. Because this is what we do. You know, Community United Focus, which is the nonprofit, which is a sponsor's Point of Impact, which is my podcast that we created, you know, with Krista and Hassan. And what I would like to do, because really we need a show just for you, what I would like to do is not only invite you on to participate in another show, but I would like for you to be an honorary guest as a host from time to time to join us in this conversation. Would you be up for that?
Yes. Oh, my God, it's my pleasure, my honor. Thank you. You know I'm a talker when I get on here, so for sure. Thank you.
Yes.
That would be great.
You know, this lady, ladies and gentlemen, listen, this lady is truly an important person in my life. She's one of the people that really inspired me to get involved before I went and did my time. You know, I went in 1996, but I knew Karen before going into prison, and I knew her for like 3 years maybe, and her husband, who's also a great person, Michael, you know, they're very great people and very outstanding people. So, you know, it's an honor, and I'm so thankful that you're taking that position to stand with us. Having you on as a co-host Our honorary co-host would be an honor for us. And also with the work that you're doing, you know, joining us in this fight, and we joining you in this fight, is yeah. not we're gonna be serious as allies.
Can I say one thing before we switch over?
Sure.
I just want to say, sure. like right now, I know that there's so many different things that's being said about the Virginia Parole Board and even about this governor. And I think what's happening is they're not even really hitting the news with it. I think people don't even know that we were able to advocate for Randall Barkley right out of Norfolk. He was a young man sentenced as a juvenile to triple life plus, I think, 23 years. And the law firm had done his pardon, and under the Northam administration, it was actually denied. And that was my very first mm-hmm. communication with the Secretary of the Commonwealth's office. I said, welcome, you know, and I hope that you really believe in second chances. But let me tell you about this pardon and why it should be granted. And they took my email, responded, and said, okay, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. I had no idea that once we sent that email that they had started to vet the pardon. And when Randall called me and said, hey, Karen, somebody from the pardons office met with me, and I had an interview, and I was like, oh, my God, really? And fast forward, he was granted a pardon from Governor Youngkin. Mm. And since Governor Youngkin has been in office, we have been able to get the releases of 5 men already through parole. Mm. And so I just want people to stay encouraged. I know the numbers look dismal when you see it on the website,
right.
but Jared Dotson, he has a vision, and he's been working extremely hard. And I told him this. I said, I know that you guys are going through some stuff, but I publicly support you. Just keep focused, keep going. And at the end of it all, I pray that they're not going to let me down. I believe that Governor Youngkin administration is going to vet some pardons and parole, and they're going to grant them. So just keep your head up to those that are still waiting for answers.
Wow, that's outstanding. And you know, my man Hassan, he'd be quick to tell you, it ain't about whether you're a Democrat or Republican, man. Listen, all of them played a role in keeping people down. You understand what I'm saying? All of them, man. Politics, man, is like the devil's work. And so we just got to be careful. But there are people in public office and politics that are doing some wonderful things and that are striving to make a difference. And, you know, like we said, man, we just want people to come together and start to realize, you know, that, you know, we're talking about human beings, you know. And a big ups to Jennifer Delton, who's working right now to remove that 13th Amendment and change the language of that amendment. And may Allah grant him strength and victory in amending that constitution. So, you know, we're going to continue to work hard. Right now, I want to see, Jay Sean, do we have any callers? And please, I'm only going to limit the callers to 1 minute to ask a question or to comment, and then we're going to have to move on. Jay Sean, do we have any callers?
We don't have any calls at this time, but LaToya sent a message that she wanted to. She knew you had limited callers, so she just wanted to say keep God first, and you're doing a wonderful job, and keep continuing to let God work.
Yeah.
Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister LaToya. Yeah, thank you so much. She's a family a member of Point of Impact as well. And a big shout out to her and Brother Leon, and Brother Miles, and Brother Shadi, and Sister Lisa, all of these people who support us consistently on the podcast. And we thank them so very much. And most importantly, again, I always want to big up our families. You know, mad love to all of our family who support us, because we're out here grinding and trying to make things happen. And if it wasn't for the love and support that we have from our families, a lot of this wouldn't be possible. A lot of people don't know how hard this work really is, you know. But Mother Queen, you want to speak real quick and say some things to this? Speak to this topic?
Just to the founders of Freedom Over Everything, Nadia, OJ, and Kevin, the fight that they have ahead of them and some of the things that they've already put behind them have led them to who they are today, and I cannot express how much growth and strength that these men have endured and still, you know, are fighting for their freedom. You know, Nadia had a life sentence, and OJ comes home, his sentence is 2033, and I believe Katie's is 2056. But due to those, I mean, with those dates, they still fight to prove their innocence and to, you know, some of them are fighting just to come home because they've been over-sentenced. So it's a array of reasons why these men are fighting and helping other men fight, like I said, because they have now just grown past their circumstance and they're ready to come home. They've done the work to be able to re-enter society, and I'm just so proud of the work that they're doing and the work that all of the members of Freedom Over Everything. There are over 50 members, and a lot of times their voices are not heard, but they do send me letters. They do write. Sometimes I do. I have a plethora of them on my JPay that I keep in touch with. So I'm just so proud of all the members of Freedom Over Everything, honestly. And just to be able to be surrounded by men and women who are changed and can talk about their testimonies and hear their stories of change is encouraging. It's encouraging to me, and it should be most definitely encouraging for people who have gone through it or are going through it.
Well, we've got about another 13 minutes, and then we're gonna. But we got. I want to let everybody know real quick before we let Brother Miles come in and say a few words, say a quick word. Everybody, please pay attention. Coming very, very soon, I mean very, very soon, inshallah, Point of Impact will be recording live, right out of Norfolk at the BAJ Juice Bar on Princess Anne Boulevard in Norfolk. We will be coming there very soon, everyone. We will be going live, and we will be going live with the live audience. And I look forward to the show coming up because we're going to have a new honorary host with us, as you all just heard, our sister Karen Morrison. This is going to be, listen, this is going to be big. This movement is going to be big. So you guys stay tuned and pay attention, and we will be coming to you live real soon. Go ahead, Jay Sean. Bring our brother Miles in, our caller.
As-salamu alaykum, my brothers.
Wa alaykum as-salam, brother Miles. How are you, soldier?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just proud to hear that, you know, what y'all are doing and the lady that's helping these brothers get their freedom and that the brother who was talking about, you know, they in there getting their educations and everything. God bless you, man.
Sir.
I got two nephews that's doing time now. One of them ended up getting him a new trial by fighting the system. And when, you know, just settle. I'm glad to hear that you and the rest of y'all guys doing the same thing. Because, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they know that if they keep us in prison, they're going to make money off us. So I said, we take all our money back.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Okay.
You want to take your money back?
I thought I'd call you your government name, but I didn't want you to reach through the phone and snatch me, KD.
No, hey, listen. I don't have a problem with people calling me Derek. My mother named me Derek, so you know what I'm saying. It doesn't bother me, but I respectfully ask people to call me Minhaj a lot. You know what I mean? But it doesn't bother me, not at all, brother. Before we get anyone else, Sister Karen, is there any final words you want to say to us?
No, I just like, first of all, you know, I always like good energy, and I just thank everybody for coming together, and I just feel like this relationship that we're going to foster is going to be, like, amazing. Can you imagine all these organizations now getting on the ground and really coming together, what we're going to be able to do? And so I'm excited about going live with you, being your guest host, and I just feel like, you know, my focus is always on yes, getting the story out. But like KD says, like KD's been in prison over 20-plus years. And so I try to make sure that even though I come out, I stay focused so that we can get him out here, get him back in the community doing exactly what he was destined to do. And we have so many men and women that are so deserving. I have too many to shout out, but we're just, you know, we're really hoping and praying that they can come home very, very soon. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very encouraged when I know you are fighting the fight for them. I'm very encouraged. Because I know how you go. I know. Y'all brothers and sisters be talking about y'all be mumbling. Listen, that's a Mike Tyson Ali right there. And I'm telling you, this sister here be mumbling, y'all.
And so, you know what's so funny? Because these people was like, where did she come from? They don't even know that I've been here all this time. But I'm like one of those quiet storms that I do what I got to do. People don't have to know what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it. Right? And like,
that's right.
Well,
that's
when I met you, they were trying to segregate within Blair Middle School. And we did what we needed to do. And that thing was dismantled. And so we've been doing this for a long time. But I just try to keep my life private so that I can walk out the street and not have to, you know, get some attacks going on. But I just feel really good about the work that we've always been doing. I'm so glad that we came back together, and I'm just looking forward to working with the different organizations. And you know, like, I got to do this real quick. Shout out to those that have always been here in Virginia on the ground, always been consistent. You know, we kind of started only 2 years ago in Virginia. I've been doing federal work, and I always tell the story, like, people didn't even know my name when I was doing federal work. I won my first clemency under President Trump. I've been doing work under aliases names just because I don't want people looking for me and feeling like they're obligated to me. Like, I do this work from the heart. And so when they come out, like, you know, we thank them, we help them, and now we're going to be able to really pass them on to you so that you can do the reentry. Our main focus is trying to get them out, but they do need that reentry,
ma'am,
so that they can stay grounded, they can help, you know, get the help that they need. Some of these brothers are coming out with, and sisters coming out with, some real issues that they need help with. And so I'm just really excited and looking forward to this. But yeah, we get ready to fight for real.
No doubt. Listen, we're gonna get out of here, y'all. But before I go, I want to give mad love to my brother, the founders of Freedom Over Everything. I love y'all, KD, OJ, Nadir. You know, I'm always, you know, I'm in spirit. I'm out here. I'm out here pumping you, fighting your fight, and I'm doing the best I can. But most importantly, I'm thankful because our leader, who is here on the ground for us, Krista, is amazing. She's an amazing person to be led by, and I'm so grateful and honored to be under her tenet and be able to be led by her and a lot of the things that we're doing. And I'm just, it's just, all of this is such a mercy and blessing. So right now I'm going to let my two co-hosts close out. Sister Karen, we love you. Again, we're really excited about pursuing a new venture with you and, you know, turning a whole new page and start to really get some more movement going. Because that's what's going to happen. I'm in no way, I don't have any doubt about us succeeding. And again, thank everybody for calling in.
Right.
Krista, you want to give some final words, Mom?
Well, yeah, because I'm going to let Hassan, you know, do his thing. But, you know, I want to first say that, you know, you all as men are the seed planters, and women, you know, as a woman, I'm just the nurturer. I just feed the, give it water, give it life, give it air, you know. So I don't want to most take away from the seed that was planted by these men, and I have to most definitely give you all y'all props, you know. So I'm just the nurturer.
Well, she does a great job of that, right? She does a great job of that. And I just want to say this, you know, as we move forward in this struggle, for everybody out there, for a lot of the people out there who just really do not understand the fact that, you know, how do you want these men and women to come home, right? Do you want them to come home as assets to their community and to their families, or do you want them to come home as liabilities? And what I found in bringing and helping men as a transition aid to help men come back into society is that these men usually have a lot of great success when they stay connected to keeping other young men and women from going into prison, right? And so we strive to make that a part of community service through reentry when men come home, that they have to devote some time to youngins and telling them why they don't want to go through the same experience that they did. And this is a missing link that's been needed in our community. And we find a lot of the youngins really, really receptive to men who have went to prison for any significant amount of time and have a particular level of experience that they can share with them. So for Karen, for everyone else who's been out here doing the long, hard work and the struggle of helping men to come home, helping men to make a transition, and keeping young men and women from going to prison to begin with, I want to salute all of y'all right now and say that, you know, in my undying effort, whatever I can do to assist, we here. So shout out to everybody. And once again, Point of Impact, stay tuned.
The love. Point of Impact, y'all. Remember, stay tuned, pay attention, because we will be coming to you live. And we will have a live audience. We will have an audience participation. And I'm telling you, stay tuned. Be looking out for, the flashes, the posts on Facebook and Instagram. And just keep your ears close to the ground, because we're coming, y'all. We're coming. And we want to give big shouts out to Dr. Beverly Barry Levy Evans, who's going to be producing this. And we're going to continue to, don't get it wrong, we're going to continue to be on the radio here on Blog Talk Radio with our producer, Jay Sean. You'll be able to call in continually every week, but we will also be going live. So, you know what I'm saying, stay tuned and join us, man, because we doing the work. We doing it. We ain't playing. And so with that, I'm going to close. And I'm going to get out of here. Jay Sean, you want to say anything real quick, brother?
No, just that the guests were amazing, man, and, you know, it was another good show. And, oh, yeah, one more thing that with the technical difficulties, I just like to let everybody know that they come at all levels, even primetime TV, or NBC, ABC, CBS, everybody have technical difficulties. We have to be aware sometimes that the headsets and speakerphones, you know, sometimes they don't mix right with the program we use it. So we just gotta, you know, work together so that we can keep the best production and sound for everybody, you know. And we getting better every
exactly.
week. That's it. Peace.
That's right. So listen, everyone, I just wanna encourage you, please, if you continue to worship Allah. And keep the law first, you know, and strive towards pleasing your Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're striving towards pleasing your Lord, then you're doing the work that's valuable to the community, most importantly, valuable to yourself and your family. So just keep that in mind. And if we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing and calling to our Lord, then guess what? We definitely will be making a better society for ourselves. So with that, I want everybody to please just stop what you're doing right now. Just stop what you're doing and take this time to do something that will benefit you in this life, that will benefit you in this life and the hereafter, and that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community, your locality. Everyone, please be safe. Stay tuned to us next weekend on Point of Impact. Check us out. Hit us up on Facebook, DM us. Listen, we need funds. So if you would like to be a donor, please reach out to us, man, because we're here, we're doing the work, and it's going down. And so let's make it all happen. And I want to just ask everybody to keep me in your prayers. Tomorrow is my first day. I'll be working with the Norfolk Sheriff Department. So please keep me in your prayers that, you know, we can continue to do some more effective work inside as well as outside. Everybody stay up, stay real, stay real with yourself and do what you got to do. And remember, man, you know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you're not a believer. And he said it three times, the one whose neighbor fears him. So let's get out here and let's be true to one another. Everybody be safe. I love you all. Good night. Good night.
Love you. Thank you for having us. love you too.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
Get a shot of one. So I remember all the past lessons that you learned from.
Oh.
A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too.
In
2 months, we sent a text, I love you.
I love
in 5
you.
Months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram.
On
the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve of love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're a lover, homie, lover, friend. Yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works.
Yeah,
when there's rain showers, the sun shines again.
Woo.
Gotta weather every storm just to sail again.
Woo.
I know the time is now. I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee. I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary. I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you, I wanna see you. Sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Great. Great. Ha 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 ha!